It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She's still in Switzerland. This is easy, so I don't have to say anything more about that, other than, hi, Mirella, how are you?
Hi, Jill. Very well, thank you. I hope the same for you. Yes, I'm being really good. I'm still in Switzerland, following the rules, or at least the advice, and wanting to talk about the European Union today as a very historic deal has been finally met for a recovery package for the European Union. This is really historic because before the pandemic and for many years, as you know, the idea was to spend as little money as possible and only when really necessary. That was, for example, one of the reasons the crisis in Greece at the time was so painful. And it was basically because Europe was not ready to overspend in order to save one of their members. But this time the situation is obviously very different. This is a pandemic that we are going through with consequences that our generation has never seen before. And so logically, the position of Europe is now very different on spending, as the idea of having several European countries going into bankruptcy is actually not an option. And therefore, after some really intense talks for more than 90 hours, I believe it was one of the longest time for discussions in the history of the European Union, a deal has been made, and there will be 750 billion available for the 27 members of the European Union. This is really a turning point because if this deal would not have gone through, it could have been a very, very bad hit for the Union, especially considering that it is the first time that such important talks are taking place without the United Kingdom. So it was, I think, very important for Europe also to finally show an image of unity. So it's going to be split that way. Europe will have available 390 billion for the countries that have been really badly hit during this pandemic, but that are definitely much, much better right now. Countries like Italy and Spain. And 360 billion will be in form of loans with low interest for members who will apply for it. This 390 billions, that was a real issue during those talks, because on one hand, the Union had countries that usually don't like to spend money, like Sweden, Austria, Netherlands, Denmark, and then on the other side, all the other countries. So the countries that wanted to be careful with the amount of money did not want 500 billions as it was initially suggested. The other countries did not want to go under 400 billions. So between 500, that was unacceptable for the countries who wanted to save money, and the 400 requested by the countries who really need urgently money, a compromise has been made with 390. I am not sure of how the money is going to be distributed, but from what I saw initially, it would be between Greece, Italy, Spain, France. The billions would be then given according certain submissions of spending plans, because obviously the idea is to help, and the idea is to give enough money to be able to do actually an efficient job. But on the other hand, there must be also some way to control it. And there will be a need for submissions of plans. Eventually, if something really looks absolutely out of line, there will be a possibility to block it, but only with a majority. But in a way, every country in the Union will be able to look at what the other countries are doing and how they are planning to do it. It's what was not implemented and was also subject to discussion was a democracy issue, because initially the idea was to have a package that would include also a clause for countries accused of not respecting democratic principles. But countries like Poland and Hungary, who have had that issue previously, have managed to make sure that that clause would not be included, at least not in that form. The risk would have been to have a veto from those countries, and that was not the idea, because as I said before, it was difficult enough to come to this agreement. I think it's very important also to notice that there was definitely a leadership from France and Germany. I guess they would have liked to get a little bit more, but they were happy to have finally gotten this disagreement. For all the journalists that are describing this deal as a deal very difficult to reach, and that shows how the Union is actually not unified, I would maybe say that we are talking here about a continent and a union with 27 different countries. That means 27 members that have other sensibilities, that have very different cultures. And I would say that, without going overboard, that it's definitely a big challenge and a huge victory to bring 27 people who have completely different upbringing, who have completely different sets of issues in their own countries. Because let's not forget that all of these people have also then to respond and to take responsibility for this deal in front of their own populations. And in order also to avoid populism, in order to avoid giving maybe tools for unhappiness in their own countries, they also had to find a way, an acceptable way, that they could present then proudly to the respective countries they are coming from. Let's not forget that there are countries who have equal difficult talks and equal difficulties to come to agreements when it comes to this kind of huge budget decisions, and that is inside one country only. So I think when we speak about difficulties to get close to an agreement, it is also necessary to acknowledge that we are talking about 27 extremely different countries with very different political systems. So that is for the huge European Union recovery package today. And in terms of quickly giving some news on the COVID-19 front, one could notice that countries are for the moment having full control on it. Some countries are in Europe are concerned, because obviously with the traveling and the holiday time, there are all the time some new clusters here and there that have to be taken care of. But for the moment, I believe no country is really talking about a second wave. So it's difficult to forecast and see what is going to happen next fall, but it seems like the summer is going to be a little bit like a stop and go, depending on the infection rate. But concerning Switzerland, for example, we are going from 70 to 130 new cases per day. It's not little, but it's definitely a number then that can be under control. So this is what one can say today, but as we know, it's a constantly changing situation.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.